And so I intend harder to exercise. But you know, after the year is done, not 1 pound has melted off my body. So we get really serious. And what, you know what we do? We go out and we buy an exercise video. Hard bottom, flat abs, Pilates. We study that thing. 3 months later, we take the cellophane off of it. And not 1 ounce has melted off my flabby abdomen. So I look at the hard bodies and the flat abs, and then, oh, take a nap. Tired already, tired.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. You know, most of us are pretty much in the same boat. We all are big on making resolutions. We want to drop a few pounds, work on our marriage, become more faithful in our devotions. Today, Pastor Wayne will show us how to begin to build a bridge from where we are right now to where we want to eventually be. That bridge is built one plank at a time. Here is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, Getting Beyond Good Intentions.
Hey, it's good to be back. I visited my two grandkids up in Oregon, our two daughters there. And you know, it's funny, every time I leave, something happens in Hawaii. Yeah, when I was in Texas traveling, 9/11 took place. And then I went again, and then the tsunami broke out. And then the last time I left, there was an earthquake on the Big Island and everything shook. And then this last time I left, electricity went out. Good for you guys. Elwin was calling me, oh, you better not go no more. Tired of this every time. But it's good to be back. We don't know about the turbulence in the Middle East, what's going to become, and the immigration laws, health laws, everything is in some topsy-turvy, whirly-gig of motion, and we just don't know what's going to happen in the future. But we do know this, because we don't know what's going on out there, we can enjoy the moment right now. Because if you don't, you miss it. You're always looking for the next thing, and you just miss life itself. You turn around, and life has passed you by. So make sure you just enjoy the present. It reminds me of the story of this struggling artist who wasn't selling any of his paintings at the gallery. So finally, he went down there, and he said to the gallery owner, has anybody shown any interest in any of my paintings? I'm starving to death. And the gallery owner says, oh, I've got good news. Today, somebody came in and was very interested in your paintings. In fact, they asked me this one question. They said, do paintings increase and appreciate in value after the artist dies? And I said, absolutely. He bought all 17 of your paintings. The guy says, woohoo, I'm rich. He said, well, that was the good news. The bad news, the guy that bought it was your doctor. So you don't know what's coming up. So enjoy the present right now. Well, let's take out our notes as we talk about moving beyond good intentions. Moving beyond. How many of you, be honest, how many of you even mentally have made some New Year's resolutions already? Raise your hand. Good. It's only been a week, so it's probably a good chance you haven't broken any of them yet. It's only been a week, so it's probably a good chance you haven't even started on them yet. You've just had good intentions. We haven't started. Well, the Bible has a story about good intentions. And God must be pretty serious about it because he lays down some pretty strong words as we talk about moving beyond good intentions. So at the top of your notes, in our most robust voices, let's read that story together out of Matthew 21, verses 28 through 31. Would you read it with me? Go. What do you think? A man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go work today in the vineyard. And he answered, I will not. But afterward, he regretted it and went. The man came to the second and said the same thing. And he answered, I will, sir. But he didn't go. Which of the two did the will of the Father? They said, the first. And Jesus said to them, truly I say to you that the tax collectors and prostitutes will get in to the kingdom of God before you. This is a story of intentions. The first one went beyond his intentions to not go into the vineyard and went. The second one said, woohoo, I will, but never got beyond good intentions. And so the Lord says, which one really does the will of the Father in the end? Well, the one who gets beyond intentions. And then he said to the Pharisees, in the context of this story, questioning him, he looks at the Pharisees and he says, tax gatherers and prostitutes are going to get into the kingdom of heaven before you. In other words, you're full of good intentions, but you can never cross the chasm between good intentions and reality. And you do that year after year after year, and you make other people do the same thing as you do, so they become these religiously good and well-intentioned people, but you never change. And he wasn't really saying anything about tax collectors and prostitutes. More so, he was saying they're better off than you because at least they try to do something with their lives and you don't. And he was pretty serious about getting beyond good intentions. Now, the same is true with us. If we don't find a way to get beyond good intentions and span that chasm, if we don't do that, then this next year will be like the Herman's second verse, same as the first. I'm Henry the Eighth, I am. It'll be the same thing again and again and again. So we learn more, but we do less. We get more information, but less transformation. We have more know-how, but less do now. And we've got to span that chasm. Now, I don't know what your New Year's resolutions are, but I bet that there's a component or part of it that says, I want to be more of God's best. I want more of God's best in my life. And how many of you would, with a raise of hand, would say, that's me. I would love to have more of God's best in my life. That would be a resolution. Yep. Now, I know that because every single one of us would want that. However, and would you write it in your first fill in the blank? Here it is. You've got to remember this. God's best will never happen except through great intentionality. God's best in your life, your family, your marriage, your future, your finances will never happen by accident. God's best in your life will not just happen because I dream about it and I want it and that's my intention and I desire it. No, God's best will only happen through great intentionality. You've got to have this down. It's going to be intentional. That happens in my life, your life, every single life. God's best only happens, only takes place through great intentionality. Now, every single one of us has dreams. Dreams in our heart about our life, our finances, our future, our family, our spouse, whatever it might be. We all have a dream. But a dream, just because it's a dream, will not come to pass. Nope. What is that igniter? What is that primer that ignites, that inaugurates the dream to come from a dream into reality? Why, the wisest person on the face of the earth at that time, his name was Solomon, writes these words in Ecclesiastes 5:3. And let's read it together in our notes. Go. For the dream comes through much effort, and the voice of a fool through many would you underline, for the dream comes through much effort, which means it takes effort. Even dreams require intentionality. Intentionality. It doesn't happen with just good intentions. Solomon says a dream comes through much what? Effort. Yeah, it's intentional. You got to write it down. You got to parse it out. You got to schedule it in. And then you say, oh, my dream came to pass. It didn't just come to pass. No, it comes through great intentionality. But that's how dreams are fulfilled. Otherwise, it's called a pipe dream. Doesn't ever happen. We got to move beyond good intentions. Otherwise, we'll do it again this year. You know, some people say, well, you know, I really want to get involved in the church. I desire to get involved in the church. I intended to get involved in the church. I yearn to get involved. I yearn to serve. I dream about serving. Are you serving anywhere? Oh, no. What do you do this year? Oh, I'm going to dream about it again. No. It's like people with exercise. I want to exercise. I yearn to exercise. I desire to exercise. I plan to exercise. I dream about exercising. Do you exercise? Oh, no. So you know what we do? What? Next year I'm going to do this. What? I'm going to intend more hard for exercise. And so I intend harder to exercise. But you know, after the year is done, not 1 pound has melted off my body. So we get really serious. And what, you know what we do? We go out and we buy an exercise video. That's right. Hard bottom, flat abs, Pilates, whatever it is. We study that thing. 3 months later, we take the cellophane off of it. And not 1 ounce has melted off my flabby abdomen as of yet. So I look at the hard bodies and the flat abs and whatever, and then, oh, take a nap, tie it already, tie it. Hey, the only way it's going to happen is we've got to get beyond good intentions. So we've got to somehow span the gap. How do we do that? How are we going to span that gap? Well, today I'm going to give you some planks, but before I do, I want you to know that if we're going to move beyond good intentions, it's going to have to be visible. It's got to be obvious. You got to see it. In fact, even in our walk with Christ, wanting to become better in our character, better in our personality, decrease our anger or our moods or our discouragement or the ease with which I get exasperated or depressed, I've got to make intentional road marks on these so that my life is visibly better. How do you get there? In fact, let's read what it says in 1 John 2 and verse 6. Go. The one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. Now, you got to see this. It says if you want to follow Christ, you got to walk in the same manner as he walked. When you like it, no. Even when you don't. When you agree with God, no, even when you don't. You've got to walk in the same manner as he walked, even though I don't feel like it. There's got to be some movement that's visible. How do you get that ability to? Well, the first is you got to change your default system. Then sooner or later, every single one of us will have to, and this is just working on the default before any action, and that is this. I've got to decide whether or not, and you can write it in, will I match what I believe to the way I live or the way I walk, or will I match the way I live to what I believe? In other words, I want to live a certain way and I really don't want to change that much. So will I change what I believe to the way I live, or am I going to change the way I live to what I believe? See, in the beginning, God created us in His image. He created us in His image. But ever since that, I've been trying to create God into my image because it's easier. See, it's easier to just reduce God to the way I live and have Him rationalize the way I want to live versus me saying, no, this is what God says and this is His best or God's best. And I'm going to ratchet up my life and walk in the manner that He walked, even though my insides are saying, no, I don't want to do it. Doesn't matter. I'm going to do it. We're going to talk about how that gets done. But am I going to reduce God to the way I live, or am I going to ratchet the way I live up to the way He is? If you just change that one thing, it'll help you immensely. Otherwise, we can rationalize our faith down to whatever. It's like the story of the three reverends, Catholic guy, Baptist pastor, and a Portuguese pastor. And they were talking about how they divvy up the tithes to what they get and what God gets. So Catholic priest said, well, this is what I do. I draw a circle 3 feet in diameter. I throw the offering up. Whatever lands in the circle, God gets. Whatever spills outside, I take. Oh, the Baptist pastor said, I do it a different way. I just draw a circle 1 foot in diameter, throw the money up, and whatever lands outside the circle, God gets, and whatever little remains inside that circle, I take. And the Portuguese pastor said, oh, man, I don't draw no circle. I just throw the money up. Whatever God catches, He can keep. We can rationalize anything. So we don't have to change and walk in the manner that He walked. We are experts at that. That's why sooner or later you and I will have to answer that question. Am I going to reduce God to rationalize him so that my faith is based on how I want to live? Or am I going to ratchet the way I live to match what I believe? And I've decided that second one. I'm going to do that. And so it's going to require certain things for me to do, even though my flesh is rebelling. But I've got to get across the chasm of just good intentions to reality. Otherwise, I'll reduce God and make my own religion. It's still under the auspices of Christianity, but it's really my own thing. I've really rationalized God down so I can just do whatever I want to do. Then I'll stay in the arena of on the side of good intentions, and I'll never get beyond it. So how do you span the gap? I'm going to give you three bridge-building planks, as it were. Three planks so that you can build a bridge. I can't necessarily take you across. You'll have to do that yourself. But I can help you build a bridge to get from good intentions over to reality, from being people with more information to those who are being people of transformation, those who have good intentions to those who have true fruitfulness in their life and success. And these are things that I've caught from the Word of God and from watching people. I love to watch successful people, successful in their jobs and their marriages and their walk with Christ, because when you watch successful people, you'll notice that they leave clues behind as to why they are. It could be the way they meet people, the way they look in the eyes of people, maybe their self-confidence. It might be the spirit with which they do their activities and carry on their life. Maybe the way they treat people, the kindness, or maybe a focus that they have, a discipline they have. And I watch that and I write and record these things down because that's the proof of it's not just what they think and have intentions about. It's what is the result of the way they thought. I watch both the proof as well as their perspective. And if it doesn't have the proof, then they've never gotten beyond good intentions. Because you can have great intentions, but there's got to be proof. That's what gets you across. And we're going to talk about that. So what are the three planks that help us to build a bridge? Let me give you the first. The first is this. Number one, would you write down, put guardrails in place and respect them. Put guardrails in place. Again, if you don't put guardrails or disciplines, then I'm just going to say, well, I just want to do whatever I want to do. I don't want God to tell me what to do. You've got to change your mind. Otherwise, you'll rationalize God down to you. Remember that. So I put guardrails of how I'm going to think and how I'm not going to think, how I'll use my mind and how I won't use my mind. Do I have the ability to do it? Absolutely. But I put guardrails, personal guardrails. Otherwise, as you bump up and read what it says in Psalm 74, it says they have set up their own standard for signs. In other words, I'm just going to say, oh, there's a sign from God that says I'm supposed to do this. Oh, that girl called me back. Oh, must be that I'm supposed to go and just, you know, approach her or do this or do that. I know she's married, but she called me back, so it's a sign. She texted me. Oh, it must be, we put up all these, our own signs. No, God is saying, you've got to set guardrails because you know God's best. Now, do you have any guardrails? In fact, let's read what Jeremiah 31 and verse 21 says. Go. Set up for yourselves road marks and place for yourselves guideposts. Direct your mind to the... Yeah. If you don't set up certain mind parameters or guardrails, your mind can go way off the beaten path. So the Bible says, set for yourself. Now, would you underline set for yourselves, set up for yourselves? Because, folks, no one's going to do it for you. You got to do it for yourself. Well, nobody finds out. No one will hold me accountable anyway. No, you got to set it up for yourself. And the guideposts are like posts upon which guardrails are built. You've got to make sure that even though you could, I say, no, I'm going to set up certain guardrails that I'm not going to do this anymore. If the alcohol bottle has destroyed your marriage, you say, that's a guardrail. I'm not going to go that way. Or you find your heart straying into this other illicit relationship, a guardrail. I'm not going to call that person. I'm going to erase, delete all of those things. So it's just clear. I'm going to stay clear of that person. You have certain guardrails, the way you think, all of these. And then it says this. It says, place for yourself guideposts. And here it is, direct your mind to the highway. Why do you think that writer says direct your mind? You know why? Because God is saying our minds need to be directed. If you don't, here it is, with great intentionality, direct the thoughts of your mind, they will go helter-skelter. Because that's the propensity of mankind, to try and explore different even no-no avenues. We just think, that's free. Let's just go down that way because I'm not hurting anybody. Yes, you are. You're breaking guardrails. You say, but wait a minute. You're just getting this stuff. I'm feeling so limited already here with these things you call guardrails. I want to be free. I want to have a borderless life. I want to do whatever I want to do. This is a free country. Home of the brave. Now, listen. If you don't have guardrails, you look at it in nature. Without borders, a river that was once clean and forceful, directed, filled with life, without borders or banks, that river becomes a swamp. Force without limits becomes a destructive explosion. Fire without controls will become an inferno. A mind without parameters equals insanity. A road without road signs is lost. You're lost. A life without disciplines is a life wasted. So some people, though, they say, well, wait a minute. It seems so restricting. I just want to be free. Well, wait a minute. My granddaughter's 2.5 years old now, and I was playing the piano. We have a family piano, and I was playing the piano, and she came up, and she wanted to help Grandpa play piano. So she just started beating on the keys, just beating, because she's free, just free, beating on it. And it wasn't any music at all. It was a cacophony of dissonant noise. So I just had to keep concentrating on my song, smile at her. And look towards her grandmother. But she thought she was free. Well, where does true freedom come from? Just random motion where I can just go wherever I want to go with whatever I want to do, lay with whoever I want to do that with, go do this, because I'm free. I'm just free. I don't like the stuff about God because it's too restricting, too limiting. So I just want to do whatever I want to do, whatever my heart's desire is. First of all, never, never, never mistake what is your heart with what is your flesh. You can mix that up, and if you're not careful, it'll run you amok. But I just want to be free. Where does true freedom come from? It doesn't come from just random movement. And with an just unabridged life where I just do whatever I want without any guardrails or parameters. No. Think about it in the piano metaphor. And that is this. You take a look at a concert pianist. That concert pianist can get up there and flip his coattails back. And under the spotlight, he's just free. He moves wherever he wants to on that piano. He's free. Sometimes they just close their eyes and they're just free. Where does that freedom come from? And what does it produce? Well, it produces exquisite symphonic music. Where does he get this freedom from? Just at random, just moving his hands anywhere? No. You know where it came from? It came from the limitations of a self-discipline of the scales. And the teacher would say, sit up straight, get your posture right up, the position of your hands, get that up a little bit more. Okay, now hit that note. Oh, you hit that note, but it was with the wrong finger. I want you to turn that thumb under and then do your run and move. There's a certain way to do all of these things. And does it feel limiting at first? Absolutely. But you know what this does? After a while, when he is submitted to that and obeys that, what happens after a while is it gives birth to a beautiful freedom. But that freedom is not which causes confusion and dissonant sound. It's a freedom that produces beautiful music. what births true freedom? Not helter-skelter living, but disciplined lives.
You have just heard part one of a message entitled Getting Beyond Good Intentions by Dr. Wayne Cordero. We'll pick it up right there on tomorrow's broadcast. We invite you to visit our website where you'll find more helpful resources from Pastor Wayne, including his messages on podcast. You can also find Pastor Wayne's daily devotional. That web address is www.enewhope.org. Again, that's enewhope.org. Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.